thank you so much for joining us on our podcast from Italy. My name is Jason.
Ciao, I'm Ashley.
And together we own and operate La Tavola Marche and Agriturismo Cooking School here in stormy, blustery Piovico, Italia.
Yes, yes. And the season has officially ended. The last guests have checked out.
It's over. It's over.
It is the season of ingrassare now.
No, I hope
the season
not.
Of fatness, no, I like no. to call the winter.
Today is 18 November. It is 11 a.m. in the morning. That's 1 hour before mezzogiorno.
Ooh, a kind of late morning podcast for ourselves. But hey, you guys, we're back. Like, this is within two or three weeks. So this is, we're looking good. We're all back to a good start.
Don't get used to it.
Don't.
Like Ash said, the season ended with our Thanksgiving lunch, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But 2014 season's over. It went quick.
It was a smooth year.
It was a smooth year. I think it felt easier because it wasn't as hot.
True. So that transpires into a lot of things because we've had 1 year where we had 90 days above 90 degrees. I love those kind of things of like, yeah. But it was so freaking hot that we were exhausted by 10, 11 a.m. This year, since we didn't have that heat, it meant a lot of things. It meant you weren't exhausted from the heat. It also meant that the garden didn't need the watering it normally needed. So it meant you could sleep in a little bit or help in the kitchen and for breakfast. And it just, I don't know. It wasn't so hot at night. Or in years past, we've had to start cooking classes in the afternoon late because it's so freaking hot in there. No one wants to start cooking at 4. We'll start at 5 and have dinner closer to 9. But this year was really smooth sailing, much more mild temps.
It did. There was also not the one disaster, like the house, one
well,
house
the
disaster.
First disaster.
Well, that's, yeah, we started, we had one little one at the beginning, the first guest we had of the year. But after that, it was pretty good. Did we talk about that
yeah.
on the podcast?
Well, that was like one of the, for sure we talked
okay.
about that.
So go back to like April if you want to hear
exactly.
Other than that, it went really well. As far as everything's put away, the outdoor furniture's put away. All the wood is stacked. The fires are going in the kitchen and in our place.
I know. It's blustery out. That's for sure today. Storms passing and
lots of flooding. Italy has been hit with terrible, terrible flooding. It's been Italy does not do well with water. They don't really have a water plan, and nor do they. Like you can see from our house when they designed it, no one thought about, hey, we're in the foothills and we're on a slope and we have a big long driveway. When it rains, where's all the water going to go? Not really important. It'll go where it goes.
Well, also we're on the edge of the foothills of the, like, we are truly nestled into the side of this little hill, so the water is running through our place to get to the road and to the river right below us. So this is the natural course of this water. Our house just happens to be in the middle of it. Luckily, there's no flooding or problems with the house. It's more the outdoor walkways, like in front of our little place.
Like on the driveway as well. Yes. It washes all of the gravel away. So
it just doesn't make sense.
No one made a plan. No one said, hey, well, this is where we want. Okay, the water's going to flow here. We're going to put a drain. We're going to take it away towards the river this way. Nothing.
How about in Sicily? When you have crazy storms, the water just rises. And it's all those cobblestone streets and stuff. There's no real drainage in the streets or, sewers. Because it's all like below sea level. You're right there. Remember when we were in Ortigia and there was a huge rain and it was just like, it's just all going to rise and then wash to sea.
It's been all over the news. I can't believe I can't remember where all this flooding is. Is it?
Oh, well, I know there's been a lot in the north, but also that how much this water we've had throughout Italy, not just in our area with our little, tomatoes, but how this is affecting the grapes and the olives.
Yeah.
It's
don't
not going to be
remember,
a good year.
We talked about it last time, but 2014 vintages are not going to be good.
Both oil and wine. Yeah. It, pretty devastating. So the price could go up or I don't know. It's just not going to be a good year for it. But
I'm afraid of winter.
Oh my gosh. What are they saying? I know we asked this last time, but any more words? It's supposed to be kind of mild until December was what.
It's not. Well, here's the thing. Here, it hasn't really gotten cold yet. The colors of the trees are beautiful. It seemed like all of a sudden over a week, the trees just
It really
changed.
Was.
And just the beautiful reds and yellows and oranges right now are great. and it hasn't been cold really. It's like today is like 15, 16 degrees. It's just blustery and wet, and the winds are coming out of the south southwest, so it's warm air. But I don't know. It's coming. Like it's going to be here in no time. We have the fires going, definitely. But I'm excited.
Winds in our direction.
No one at our house for 5 months.
I know. It's nice. It's that kind of quiet time where it's us, the cats, and the chickens.
You don't have to take a nap with one eye open.
No, exactly. You're not expecting people to pop in, or I don't know. It's nice. And
but with that being said, we want to thank everyone who stayed with us and have followed us during the 2014 season. I hope you can empathize, and when we say that we're so happy, you can understand that to have people at your house 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for 6 months. By the end of it, you're ready. But conversely, by time March rolls around, there's been no one here, and I'm ready for it again.
Exactly.
So thank you, everyone who supported us and came out here and stayed with us 2014. I think it went great. I hope you had a good time, and we are very honored that you spent your hard-earned money and your even more precious vacation time with us.
This is true. People love to hear the stories of crazy guests, and people were just asking me recently, oh, you know, who are the crazies this year? I was hard pressed to come up with a good story. I could think of one for what Jason likes to call the asshole of the year award, but we won't have to get into that. But it was really we really had great, great guests, and really
we always have great guests.
We really do, but we also had a great diversity this year. Some people from Denmark who were. It's just so fun because in this little
lots
house,
of Aussies, lots of New Zealanders.
Yeah, but just that we are
people from guests from Hong Kong.
Yeah, but that we're out here, out in the middle of nowhere, and that these people from all over the world have made their way down via Candeliano to stay with us is kind of crazy, and. I don't know. We were very thankful. So
it's a very special place.
It is.
People realize that it's what we like to say. It's our little piece of paradise.
Yep.
But so I.
So let's talk about. Well, crazy things tend to happen at this little piece of paradise. You can just as the season is ending, we thought let's have our Thanksgiving feast, our Thanksgiving to truly give thanks to those who have helped us throughout the year. We talk about it. Every year at this time.
We'll reset it real quick. We have a lot of people to thank, and we do an American Thanksgiving, a whole roasted turkey, blah, 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 blah. We
stuffing.
Talked about it last podcast. So we did it not last Sunday, the Sunday before.
November 9th.
That's right.
Let's do it. We thought, let's be smart. Let's do it the last day of our guests being here because the house is still in order. We're still in the work mode instead of waiting till 2 or 3 weeks after we've closed and we start shutting down the house. This is just a lot smarter. Let's just do it today. So we get everything set up. We have our last guests. They're helping us prepare, which is awesome. It really felt like family, and it was great. We were all cooking together, and Jason was ahead of the game.
Saturday night, we were totally prepped out, ready to go. We went to bed. I went to bed. Well, I didn't really sleep because I knew I had to get up to put in turkeys, but ready to go. Totally set, prepped out. Woo! 4 o'clock, I wake up. I stick the 2 turkeys in the oven, 4 o'clock in the morning. Everything's looking great. We really just have to make some tiramisu and throw together some lasagnas, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to go collect some foliage for decorating the tables, and that I've just got some time to spare. It's feeling really good.
And then at about 10 to 9, the power cut out. Now, the power really doesn't go out where we live. We've had, in the 7 years that we've lived here, I don't really remember an extended period of power out. If a thunderstorm comes through, sometimes the power gets cut. They cut the power and it comes on right after the storm passes. But you would think living out here, we would need a generator. And I thought about it, getting a generator, but I guess it's never a problem until it's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a couple power surges where you just have to flick the switch.
Flick the breaker. Or the power has gone out for moments, but never.
No. So we're like, all right, let's just wait and see.
So when the power...
Gorgeous clear day.
Gorgeous Sunday. A beautiful windy Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like it was just windy and blustery fall Sunday. After about 15 minutes, it was like, ooh, this power isn't coming out.
It's kind of strange.
Coming back on quick.
That's weird.
And I have the two turkeys who still have 2.5-3 hours to cook. We have our whole menu is based around the oven.
We have lasagna, like you said.
So here's the problem with the power going out. Not only do we not have electricity for lights, but we run on a pump for our water. The water's pumped. It's an electric pump. So we really don't have – we have no water. And also the gas for heating and cooking and all that stuff has a safety valve that if the power goes out, it closes the valve so that if you have a – you know something – I don't know. It closes the freaking valve. So it won't come back on until the electricity comes back on. So all you're left with is the gas that's in the – in the line going to whatever appliance.
And with the water going out, that means the pump also means one flush per toilet.
One flush per toilet. So it was like, okay, what's our point of – let's regroup here. What's our point of no return? And it was like, all right, 9:30-ish.
Yeah, because we don't know why the electricity's out or what the hell is going on. So it's like – I don't know. Maybe this is something weird and it's just going to – it's Sunday in Italy. I don't know.
And after about an hour, after about – if you know, after about 45 minutes, it's like if it's not coming on. It's Sunday in Italy. It's not coming on.
Exactly.
So it's not like it's going to come on 35 minutes later. It's either going to come back on within five or you're screwed.
Yeah.
So we took the – we said 9:30 and we're making the decision. So – 9:25 is here, and we said, all right, we're going to take one of the turkeys and run it down the road to our neighbor Carolyn's house.
And don't forget about the huge demijohns full of water.
Oh, that's right. We have no water to wash up or cook with. We just need – you need running water to cook.
So thankfully we have the huge – what was it? The 54-liter ones that we use for wine. And Jason and Warren, the guest who was here, they went down the road and filled them up at Carolyn and Luke's.
Filled them up with water. I have a small propane tank with little portable candy stove type things and big people cooking pots. So we changed the menu a little bit. We went – one turkey will go in. It'll have to do. The other turkey, I can't have two turkeys because they have a tiny, they have a smaller
tiny
oven. So I can't have two turkeys going in two different spots. That's ridiculous.
Now you are putting the trust of the turkey, which is the main event, into the hands of someone else.
I have no choice.
I know, I but just it's said, just
make
like
make sure it's an internal temperature of this, and I gotta go. Thank
please
you so
don't
much.
F it up.
Yeah. So instead of making lasagnas, we were making lasagna bianco with porcini. I just took the sheets of lasagna and cut them up into tagliatelle and then did tagliatelle with porcini. However, you need a lot more pasta to feed that many people if you're making tagliatelle versus lasagna. So I had to make another 10 eggs of pasta right there on the
floor.
So,
fly. Yeah, at the, like, you know last hour, Jason and Lori are rolling pasta and cutting pasta, and it's just like, oh my God.
So, an NL truck shows up right as one of the first guests arrive, this is really funny.
So we don't know what the hell's going on still. We're just like, we're in crisis cooking mode. And it's like, we're laughing and having a good time, but it's just like, Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, Claudio shows up, one of Gaji's hunting buddies. Nice guy. But he's been out hunting all morning, and he doesn't really notice what's going on, and the lights are all off, but there's candles, and we're like, oh my God, this is crazy. There's wine on the table. There's some meat and cheese. Hump yourself. And he's like, you can offer me something? I'm kind of hungry. Like, you got some bread I could have? And it was just like, dude, go over there. And then at the same time, it's like, what are these trucks?
So NL trucks, because we're the end of the line. We're the pole at the end of the line. So an NL truck comes and shows up, and he's poking around at the box and da 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 da. And I, you know, went over and said hello. And so what's going on? And he says, the line is cut down the road, about a kilometer up the road. The line is cut. And I said, is this going to be is this going to be like a problem for days or hours? He said, oh, no, don't worry. We'll have this back on in just a few hours. And I thought, you lying SOB.
We'll be right back.
Famous last words. No problem. No power, no problem. So it's like, okay, well, thanks. I gotta run. So normally Gaji is here on time. For some reason, Gaji and his crew of people were not late, but not early.
No, because like he's hungry. Standard. He normally likes to be there at like noon. So we're laughing and going, oh my gosh. You know, we're in the kitchen getting as prepared as we can. And all of this, we're ready now, you know, change of plan of menu and all of this. But since NL's here, we're also thinking they better not freaking turn the electricity on, because
if they turn the electricity on during antipasti, there's going to be like, well, why can't,
Did the other turkey go? Like,
yeah.
We had decided if that electricity powers back on, we're powering it back down. We are flipping that switch so no one's the wiser. People slowly start arriving, and
what's the first thing that everyone has to do when they arrive?
They have to go to the bathroom. So I have to say, welcome, Benvenuti. Benvenuti, welcome to our Thanksgiving. Please, if you have to pee-pee, don't flush. We are out of electricity. Men, thank God this is half of these are country folk farmers. And it's like, men, if you so choose, there are pleasant bushes around the corner. This would help in the bathroom situation greatly. So I'm trying to head people off before they run upstairs to do any damage and use any of the remaining water we have. And we're kind of laughing going, God, this is a true Thanksgiving. Like, this is one for the books, because
no power, no
the power, hardest part, you know, it's just like, this is just feels like such a joke. Like, this would be in a movie, this and Warren, this great Texan, reminding me of some of my Oki family, kind of a quiet man who chooses his words wisely and intentionally. He, but with great humor at the same time, says, you know, the only thing that would make it a true Thanksgiving is if there's a family meltdown or meltdown of some sort.
Oh, what a foreshadowing.
You're right. I was like, yeah, you're right. In my family, it was always the garbage disposal. Someone broke it. Something always seemed to happen with the garbage disposal. So, of course, there's always a family meltdown. Someone has to have a family freak out, was basically what he meant. And
sure enough. Well, one of the things that that is always a problem when you have big groups of Italians is two things. One is arrivals. People arrive sometimes at their own hour.
Punctuality is loosely interpreted.
And number two is numbers. Getting a firm number of how many people you will have is like pulling teeth. It's just, I don't know. As hard as I try, and I freak out about that because we're at the border here of our capacity, and another three people makes a huge difference in comfort of everyone sitting in the dining room.
And the amount of food, especially if we are only now down to one turkey.
Yes. So we have been, and mainly this is mainly a thank you Gaji dinner, because we have a few peripheral people that we invite, but mainly it's for Gaji to thank him and have him invite most of his friends and you know, a lot of friends and family of his that to come out to the countryside, and he kind of gets drunk and shows off and does his Gaji thing.
Yeah. These are the kids I boss around. Yeah.
And I love it. It's great. And normally Thanksgivings go pretty, it's chaotic, yeah, but it's smoothly. Gaji, I've been bugging him. We asked him every day the week before leading up to it. What's your number? Hard number.
Not only ask him, we have the guest list.
We have the list in front of him. Every time he would stop here after hunting in the late morning. Okay, this is the number. This is the number? Okay, good. This is the number. And I know if that's the number, there will at least be one or two. But usually there's one or two, but we pestered him so much. It was like, all right, this is the amount of people that are coming.
Yeah, we were not worried about Gaji's numbers. He's pretty much a stickler for the numbers, and that is okay. It's that, you know, you invite one person and their wife. Well, anyone who lives in that house comes. So it's more the peripherals, like Jason was talking about, you know, a farmer and his family. It's just him and his wife. We're talking his wife, their daughter, the son-in-law, the two kids, you know, yada, yada.
It can get big quick.
It can. But we felt like the numbers were set. So even in all this chaos, the table was set.
Because we set the table
the night before. So everything felt good. You know, we could have all this because I can help out in other ways because the table's set. You know, all of this is good to go. Well, goddamn Gaji arrives.
Three extra people.
Oh my God.
It sucked because the tables had the perfect amount of people at them.
Oh,
and
my God.
We had to bring another table in. And normally,
we had to bring in two tables.
Two tables. Normally, if it was, if that was the only thing that happened, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
No.
But it was like
it just felt like the straw that broke the camel's back. The whole day, I was like, hey, Jay, loosen up. Everything's going great. It's not a big deal. I kept saying, wait, you know, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to, you know, the Italians will be fine. They're great with crisis lunches for things like that. Like, they don't care that the lights are off. They just want to all be together and eat something. It's going to be fine. Well, when Gaji shows up with three more in his crew, which, by the way, he told me the other two weren't able to make it, meaning he was going to be five extra deep. I just about lost my shit. And I was just, I felt like, well, ding, ding, ding. Here's the freak out. And it's me.
So oh I calm God. Ashley down. It's like, just chill out. Just freaking chill out. Get the other table. We have other tables.
Well, because then he starts busting balls. Like, it's yeah, like,
well, that's what he did. Freaking Gaji. And if you don't know who Gaji is and you're listening to this, you need to listen back. I can't
do like every other podcast.
But he goes, oh, can't you don't have enough seating. You can't get your numbers right.
And, like, and it was like, dude, you want me to pull out this freaking seating list right now? Because I will. And no one can sit down until Gaji sits down. So it also becomes this, let's get this party started now that everyone's here. But
what went from calmness before everyone arrived was an absolute
cluster.
Pardon my French clusterfuck within 5 minutes. It looked like a film out of the quintessential Italian movie where everyone arrives and it's just like a whirlwind,
tornado.
A tornado of jackets and people and kisses and
kids
and screaming and chaos. And my perfectly planned out executed lunch was very quickly eroding into an all out disaster.
Then it's like, yeah, kids like trying to run through the kitchen and we'll wash our hands in this kitchen sink. And it's like, we don't even have water.
No
and what
water.
Are you doing
There's
in
no
the kitchen?
Washing your hands in the kitchen. Get your kids out of here. Just chaos. Chaos.
And God.
As this chaos is unfolding, as we're trying to get people to sit down, two giant NL trucks arrive. One of them is with a crane on the back, and the other has a giant generator that looks like you will light up a stadium. And because we are at the end of the line, they start putting it down. So I go up to the guy. I'm like, awesome. What's going on? He's like, yes, yes. Well, the line was cut a kilometer up the road. I'm like, what happened? He's get ready for this. Only in Italy. This is hunting season. Some mental giant decided it'd be a good idea to try to shoot a bird that was perched on the power lines and shot through the power line. So
our Thanksgiving was all screwed up because some hunter Panda shot
and hit the power line. Awesome. So they start.
Like, just let that settle in. Yeah. Like, this is country living. This is awesome.
But I have to give it up to NL because, wow, they showed up within an hour of the thing, of the power going out. And now here we are 2-3 hours after the power goes out. And they're like here with equipment and people. I was shocked. So this is when we said to ourselves, holy shit, if this power turns back on in an hour and we're serving the first course, we're leaving it off.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was set in stone. We're keeping this shit off.
Like, this is how, like, we're doing it without power because I don't want it to come on halfway through and then it's like, well, I can make, like, well, if you guys just wait an hour and a half, I'll figure it out. No. So it was like, all right, very good. We go in and we start serving lunch. Antipasti went okay. Not having dishes was great. Warren, I don't think he's listening to this, but he sat. No one I know would sit on their vacation in front of a sink and just help. And
just scraping scraps into a garbage can
and then putting the dishes into. I mean, it helps
and just hauling
so much.
Them out. And this is a very smart man.
Yeah,
this ain't no dishwasher.
No, he's not a dishwasher. And I kept saying to him, "Man, if you want," I think he wanted no part of that dining room.
His wife and him would have been in a sea. She was out there in the sea of Italian craziness.
She was loving it.
And they were loving her, a Texan woman. They were just going crazy, grande americani. They kept saying, but I think he did like the little solitude of the kitchen a little bit.
Yeah, and so me and him were back there together, and the first course went well. Then comes pasta. And for some reason, The pasta course is where it's all started falling apart.
Well, also think about it. The pasta. Italians love the pasta. Like, the excitement grows because they also know after the pasta comes the turkey, which is the, you know, the main event. But also for Italians, the pasta is pretty much the main event also. So the excitement's building in the dining room. And the other thing, Gaggi starts taking over the entertainment, if you will, and conversation in the dining room, which is great. Which means Rosanna, his wife, tries to lend a hand in the kitchen.
So now I'm trying to make tagliatelle with, because I already made everything the night before. So I have to take what the impasto or what the filling for the lasagna would be, which is a mix of ground sausage and porcini mushrooms that you cook down. And I have to make that into a pasta sauce, which can be done. You add a little bit of cream to it, a little bit of pasta water. It's not the right consistency, really. But it can be done.
And it's good. Like, the filling is so – that filling that he had made is so rich and delicious that it's like – it's going to – yeah.
Kilos of porcini in it. So, you know, it won't be terrible. So I do try to do it in two parts because now I'm cooking for 26, 27 people.
Yeah. The numbers – we couldn't get the numbers straight.
No. The tagliatelle, and I have a giant people cooking pot on a candy stove. When I say a candy stove, it's just like one of those portable giant stove, one burner things you'd see, like, to boil a giant pot of water for pasta. And I want to do it in two parts. So I do the first part, and I come in, and I'm mixing the sauce and the freaking pasta together. I haven't even tried it or anything. I turn around to get, like, salt and oil and stuff, and before I know it, six or eight plates are being filled and passed out.
Because all these people kept coming into the kitchen to help, yet Jason and I have the service part down. Like, when was
she
just...
Ashley knows, do not start...
Like, I wait for the okay.
Yes. Like... Because I have to mix everything together, and it's a giant bowl of pasta. So
he's got to taste it. He's got to see if it needs seasonings. And sometimes we top it with olive oil. But it's like, we have our service down. When four more people come in to help, which is really nice, and it's very Italian... It turns into a disaster. It turns into
So I'm not passing the buck. The pasta was not good. I thought it was first of all, it was rolled out too thin because I'm making lasagna. So you always roll out a lasagna sheet thinner than you would a tagliatelle. So the pasta was too thin, which made it cook too fast. And especially when you're doing like freaking kilos of pasta, you can't. It needs to be thicker because it has to. The water, it's just a lot of pasta cooking. So it was kind of on the border of being done when it came out of the water, which it needs to come out of the water al dente, al dente. So then I go turn around to kind of try to fix it up and season it up and just kind of make it like, okay, it's all right. And it's already freaking on plates and out the kitchen door. And I was like, holy shit.
That's when you almost lost
That's
it.
That's when I lost
chef
it.
Lost. Like,
I almost lost it. It was like... Fine, just go. Just go. It's like, fuck it, just go. Send it out, let's go. Because half of it was out the kitchen already, and these people all want to eat, and I've got to do another – like, I have pasta. I dropped the other pasta to come in here and condition the first go-round. So it was like, fine, just go. And the pasta was horrible. I thought it was
and then
horrible.
There was – it was not horrible. It was just not your best. It was also hysterical because then it was only like three people who didn't have pasta from that first round. And it was this big deal of like, there's still the three. And we were like, we know it's coming. It's coming. And every time someone else who was helping would pop back in and be like, you know, there's three more people without pasta. It's like, yes, they're getting their pasta. Okay.
The reason why we're going on and it disappoints me is because I think that you show your true colors in time of crisis, not in time of calmness. So I just think that when it's up against the wall, we should rise above and we should be able to produce the same thing that we do when it's calm and cool and collected. And that's really what bothered me.
I think it also was that it's supposed to be a lunch to thank people and you felt like it wasn't your best being put out to thank them.
Oh, it was terrible.
No, stop.
Okay,
that.
So we go on to the secondo, and the turkey was fine. It was a little dry, but what do you expect when we have to, like, take it out? The other one sat in the oven, which the power still wasn't on yet. I forgot to do gravy for the turkey because of all the chaos going on, and I had to do it at the last minute. It was disgusting. I did no –
Oh, you had stuffing.
I had stuffing that was in the turkey, but that's it. And then,
oh yeah, because then we didn't have time to do the potato.
We were going
to
do like a little
boiled potatoes
and boiled cabbage, mush them together, delicious. That was didn't
scrapped
happen.
As soon as the electricity went out.
Yeah, we scrapped that. Then comes Ashley's tiramisu.
Oh my gosh! Oh, but wait, the electricity came back on with the turkey.
Oh, at the end,
but it did.
When we were serving the turkey,
no,
right at the end,
but. Throw me a freaking boat, leave it off for another freaking hour, and let's get this show ended. Because now that the electricity came on at the turkey, oh, let's get comfortable, folks, because we got power.
We got
heat on again. We got all evening to relax, and now we're exhausted.
So also the tiramisu, because we had to whip it by hand in the dark, the egg whites, and then we had to put it in the freezer, which was didn't have power to it anyway, the chest freezer. Was more like tiramisu soup.
Tiramisu soup.
Tiramisu.
Which was such a, like, just, okay, I guess I do understand Jason with the pasta because it was disgusting. I mean, it still got eaten for the most part, but it was like, I make this once a week in the summer and it comes out perfect every time. And oh, to have it just be a soupy mess, it was just, at that point, yeah, it felt like we weren't even trying.
So it was an exhausting Sunday. They hooked up a giant generator to the main, to like they wired in a generator, giant one, to the main power line, and we had power, and within 48 hours, or I'm sorry, within 24 hours the line was fixed and the generator was gone. So my hat's off to NL. NL, oh, for anyone, sorry, who doesn't know, NL is the state, yeah, the state-run power company, the Italian state-run power company, who, hats off, bravi.
We wonder who lives on this line.
Someone important must live on our line because it got fixed way too quick on a Sunday.
Seriously.
For it just to be a bunch of farmers and nobody, and like four people.
And it meant our sweet little, nearly sustainable organic farm was being powered by diesel.
By diesel fuel.
It was hysterical. We were like, this is kind of ironic. They left two huge diesel drums that they hardcore strapped to the pole. And I was like, whoa. And Chase was like, hell yeah. They don't want people taking that stuff.
But what a disaster.
Oh, my gosh. I think that the guests had a good time. I think that it was definitely memorable.
For all the wrong reasons.
Oh, my God. And it was a true Thanksgiving disaster.
Yes. So, my question to you guys.
Oh, and then, P.S. Yes, we joke when it's like, get the hell out of the house. But it's that lunches can go until like 5 o'clock at night. We still now have every goddamn dish to wash.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Since the power came on right at the end, we used every mixing bowl, every utensil,
every
glass in the house. And they're just in crates in our outdoor kitchen. And it was like, oh, my God, what do we do with this?
Oh, my God.
So, to be honest, we just rinsed everything and just left it for the next day. It was like,
well, we were doing shifts of dishwasher, too, but it was just still,
yeah,
oh, my God.
I just rinsed all the stuff, made sure no food was stuck on it, and just left it. But God, what a way to close out 2014. Was that a little long-winded?
It was long-winded, but it was kind of a bummer because it didn't feel like the bravado of a great Thanksgiving of years past of ending that way. So what else is going on?
Oh, what other fun things from Italy? Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so we get a little car, pulls up into the driveway the other day. A man gets out and says, I have a letter for you. You need to sign. Okay, sign for it. Registered. Not in registered mail, like a courier. Not even a courier guy, just some dude with two letters. We open them up, and we have to go into the comune, into the village offices to get something.
Oh, yeah. Because I wasn't even sure where you were starting. Yeah, like, literally just a guy in his car. Not any sort of postal anything.
So
arrives with these letters.
We go into the comune, and we show them into the village office. We show them the letter. They go, oh, yes, how have you been? Okay, very good, very good. Oh, where are those? Yes, yes, yes. He goes to a big stack of envelopes. And
Crisp,
brand new, with a beautiful, like, tie, like a... like string tied around
exactly
him, and a list of names, and he leafs through them, finds Ashley and my name, and so we sign next to our name, and we are the first ones out of this whole list of what, a couple hundred,
yes,
to pick this thing up. Now, mind you, we didn't do this the next day. We took our sweet time.
This was like 2 weeks or so.
2 weeks later to go get it, and apparently there was some tax.
It's probably a Taurus tax.
Yeah, some weird tax that they decided to put in 2010 that obviously no one paid because there was hundreds of envelopes there.
And we're the only schmucks who went to pick
it up. We're the only people who went to pick this thing up. And we tell our commercialista, our business manager, what is this? He's like, ooh, I don't know. Hold on, don't pay that one.
Yeah, don't pay that one yet. But we thought this is hysterical. As we're leaving, we're like, that was so, like, why? We get a lot of, you know, certified mail comes through Italy. That's not a weird thing where you have to sign it for the postman and or postwoman in our case. And it was like, why do we have to go to the office and sign it in person? This is so weird. And then just that, yeah, we're the only freaking names on the list who have gone in. And most of these people live like in the village and everything.
So it makes me think, is it like an idiot tax? Exactly. Like whatever idiot pays this gets taxed?
Totally. I was thinking that too. As soon as I realized there was no other names, I thought, ooh.
No one else picked it up.
Yeah. Meaning no one else picked it up. Yeah. No other signatures. No one else has picked it up. Knowing how long we had waited, I thought, ooh, I don't know if we pay this. Like, that's such a weird thing to say, but I thought maybe this is one of those classic, like, Italian taxes that then the year later
It's scrubbed off the books and everyone and whoever paid it just doesn't have to pay it.
Jesus.
I know. So we sent it to our business manager and he's looking into it, but that's a new one for me.
There's a lot of rules in Italy. We're still trying to learn. And another rule is funerals. And I think we've talked about funerals before, but unfortunately we had to go to a funeral the other day. And since we're not necessarily on everyone's Rolodex for call when there's a passing, we only find out about people passing away. Like, yeah, when you go into town and you're at the bread shop and they're like, oh, so-and-so's mom. Or when you're driving through town and they put up these like posters, and this is a legit thing, of posters of the person's name and photo and when they died and where you go to visit. All of this stuff is listed on these posters. And so we go into town the other day, and sure enough, we're at the bread shop and they say, oh, you know, so-and-so's mom has passed away. And we thought, oh my gosh, that's horrible. When did this happen and all of this? And they move quick here. She passed away the day before or the 2 days before, and they were having the funeral that day. And we were like, oh my God. So we were trying to find out where the funeral was and what the protocol was for this family. So we stop at the cafe in town because we know that the barista is good friends with this guy. And we thought, we know her, she knows him, and because we don't want to call the family right away to ask these questions that we have, we want to ask someone in town. So we're
and
like,
thank goodness we are not practiced at this.
So I walk in, and I say to the barista, I grew up Catholic, but I don't know all of the rules here are different, I said, when it comes to funerals. And she said, oh, yes, of course they are. They're very different. So you have to find out. We found out the hard way that the day of the funeral, you're supposed to visit the body. Now, you have to ask the question, where is the body? I guess that's the big question. If they have passed at home, you go to the home. If they have passed away in the hospital, you either go to the hospital or you go to the church. But you have to find out and ask the question, where is the body? Which is such a weird question to ask the family of the deceased to me. Oh, ciao. Where's Graham.
Especially for people who don't like to speak directly.
I know. I'm afraid. What's the roundabout way to ask for that?
Yeah, so weather's good.
Heard what happened. Where's the body?
We're very, so very sorry. Where's the body? We want it.
That you have to say, I'd like to see the body. Yes. And so that's, it's just a weird question. So
I think she passed away in the hospital. I know she passed away in the hospital, which means that it just goes straight to the church. So,
yeah, which is the same thing for the flowers. So if you're going to send flowers, that's the same question they ask you when you go to say, I want to send flowers to the family of so-and-so. Well, where's the body? I don't know where the hell the body is. It's hopefully in the ground soon. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. And then you have to visit the body, which, I don't know. I'm not crazy about that.
We went to Mass.
We did.
So we went to Mass, which is what most people did. Mm-hmm. Now, Mass was supposed to start at 3.
Uh-huh.
I was shocked because I'm very, and we've talked about this with friends of who people who become friends with Alex who stay part of the summer here in Italy, and they are awesome. They're the quintessential like American family from Boston. Three strapping young kid like boys. I love this family. Anyway, the same thing happened to them. Someone who they knew died in Italy, and they had to pack suits to go to the funeral, which is what I did. I wore a suit to mass because I thought this is a funeral. Well, no one here gets dressed up for mass.
No, not even the family.
No, jeans.
You know, or the nice jeans.
The nice jeans, but no one was wearing suit pants. No one was wearing a jacket.
No one had on stockings and a dress. Like, it was not...
It was jeans and puffy coats, which I was shocked to.
The story... Are you going to tell the story of the family?
What?
The funeral they went to? The boys were pissed because the people at the funeral, the family of the people who had passed away for this funeral, were wearing all, like, the Boston Red Sox t-shirts and sports gear.
They came and brought everyone when they arrived to see their family, the Boston, you know, Red Sox shirts and t-shirts and all the swag. And when they go to the funeral, they see all their family members wearing all this stuff to the funeral.
And the American boys are in their suits going, "Hey, Ma, I thought you said we had to wear these clothes." And it was just like, oh my God.
So, I was totally, I wore a suit. I didn't care, but totally overdressed.
Totally. You looked very nice.
Thank you. Mass was very nice. The choir from Piovico came. They got called up and,
called to duty. We didn't realize choir was on call.
We did not. Mass was really nice. It was good. We saw the family and gave our condolences and touched the touched the casket, which is what everyone seemed to do. And then you'd walk behind the hearse and make the procession to the cemetery, and basically have another little ceremony there, and then you go somewhere for a reception kind of.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go to the reception because it was rainy. No, and
it was pouring and
we were done. Mm-hmm. So we paid our respect and just little interesting differences.
It is both a little bit funny and it's just interesting to see.
The thing that was interesting was how quick, like, everything happened very quickly. Within 24 hours the whole thing was over.
Yeah.
So we missed.
It was quicker than the start of the funeral.
Oh yeah, the mass took forever to start. But we've missed a couple of people's funerals because we just aren't.
We didn't know,
and unless you're in town every day, sometimes we don't get to town, especially in the season when we're kind of running around. You don't get into town, and it's over before you know it.
Mm-hmm. Like,
oh my goodness! So that was an interesting little cultural thing we got to participate in this last weekend. Along with the end of the season and closing up is our annuals, sending a big box of what my brother calls work shit, which happens to be very expensive prosciutto, salamis, cheeses, oils.
This ain't no run of Staples.
No.
This is good stuff, and he calls it work shit.
So I usually at the end of the season, I send my brother a big box of stuff, and he eats it like a maniac, and then about 2 months after says, "I'm sick of it. I don't want it anymore," which makes me upset because it's very expensive to ship stuff to the States. And I know you're not supposed to ship, no, you know.
This is not a conversation on the ethics, morality or the ethics of customs.
But for the last 7 years, there's never been a problem with shipping anything for us to the States. You have to know how to work the system the Italian way. Well, this year, something's different because he got his box this year, which weighed 25 kilos in Italy and came out weighing a whole lot less in America. And he got a little love note from the Department of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, saying that the cured meats, the swine, they don't like the swine. And they took out all the pork products, which was a good 60-70% of the box.
We're talking like whole guanciale.
Whole guanciale, multiple different types of salamis.
Fiocchione, like big...
big pieces of meat, big pieces of dry meat. Delicious. So what a shame. Not only that, but the things that were allowed to pass through customs got a little bit of the old five-finger discount. So I sent him two wheels of cheese, which I cut up into quarters. So I had eight pieces that were vacuum sealed. Only five arrived. There was nothing written on the little love note about cheese. We also sent a bottle of limoncello, which is totally legal to send a bottle of limoncello through the mail. That also did not arrive.
Mm-mm.
That wasn't on the love note either. So that's what I call a little tax from the U.S. Department of Customs. And not only are they going to throw the stuff away that's prohibited, but...
Mine.
We're going to have a little lunch break this afternoon.
Wash that cheese down with a little limoncello.
So there you go. That's over.
So I just... I'm very curious. We sent a few other boxes that same day, and I'm curious to see if those get open as well. We bring it up not to talk about our faults and mail fraud, but to self-incriminate ourselves on mail fraud.
This is all allegedly.
Allegedly, we sent a box. But mainly as like just a kind of discussion and just to go...
Well, there's no standardization.
Yeah, and I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see if other... air, you know, mail hubs get through. The New York JFK does not.
No. And I know a lot of people ask about what they can bring back on the airplane or to send back. And we always said, well, if you can't carry it, ship it. And we never had a problem. So either to reconsider or just a little heed of warning that shit's going down, JFK.
All right. So we've been talking, last week we talked about big news to, talk about, and, we couldn't announce it yet. And now I guess, wow, what a buildup. Can I paint a picture or what?
I know. I know. It makes me both excited and nervous.
We want to announce that, this next season starting for the 2015 season will be our last year operating an agriturismo here at Cacamone.
Yes, you heard that correct. If this is on your bucket list, it's time to check it off now. This is not a marketing ploy of publicity.
Uh-uh.
This is, we're ready to switch gears.
The plan was always to move to Italy, not run a agriturismo and
I think that this is crazy. First of all, this is the world's premiere announcement of this.
You have such a high opinion of yourself.
No, I'm just saying to the podcast listeners, this is the first time we're talking about it. So that's why it's a little bit discombobulated or a little crazy. But we've
been talking about it for a few years about switching gears and pivoting. We're not leaving Italy. We're not moving back to the States. We're just going to pivot a little bit. And if you've noticed, if people who follow what we've been doing over the last 9 months or so, you've seen Ashley do more video and just other streams of multibenia and other things to do.
We want to continue with the live cooking classes in that format and expand upon that in the future. And we're really excited to take it in that direction, if you will. The thing that is hard to explain is what Jason touched on. People tend to think when we're interviewed for things or even just guests who arrive, you know, has this been your dream forever? When did you know you wanted to open an inn? And it was really more not when we want to open an inn. An inn, we wanted to move to Italy. An inn was just a way to do that.
It was the conduit to make
yes.
it happen.
So it's not that Jason and I grew up always hoping to have a bed and breakfast one day. It's not even that we grew up wanting to live in Italy one day. It's just that's the beauty of life and possibilities of just saying, we just wanted to move to Italy. It was that simple. And this was how we could live and work here. And now that we have done it, we're ready to switch it up. Just like a good friend of ours.
Good friend of ours' parents spent a lot of money getting him a degree, paying for a degree in electrical engineering.
He's a very smart guy.
Very smart guy. And graduated in 4 years, got good grades, great. When he comes times to go into a career, does not go into electrical engineering. And it was like, why? And his answer was great.
I figured I just wanted to learn how it works. And I figured it out.
He's like, I know how electrical engineering works. I understand.
He goes, now I know how it works. And it was just this insanely simple, almost very flippant answer. But I get it at the same way. We wanted to... I mean, it was a great adventure, and the adventure will continue just in a different location and in a different way. So That's the big news. Yep. That 2015 is the last working year here at Kakamone. So if you have wanted to come and visit our farm and in cooking school, this is the year to do it.
Yep. There you go. And within the next... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say on that too. It's crazy to walk away at the top of the game, and not like we're some, you know, five-star place, but I like to think of it like we're big football fans. And who's the big football player who walked away when he was at the top of his game? There's tons, but like...
Who are you thinking of?
I don't know.
Like
We watch a lot of those football lives.
Well, no, it's I always said I never want to do something that feels like work. I always want it to be fun and look forward to my job every day. And when it becomes work, you got to get out. And I think that I can see that in the future, and it hasn't become work yet, but I can see that this would become a job. And I don't want it to be a job. I want my life to be adventurous and fun. So we're going to change it up a little bit, and we're going to still live in Italy, and we'll do something in the similar realm. But it's fun not to really know exactly and to have a plan and see if it'll work, because that's what us moving to Italy was. It was an idea and a plan, and we had to believe that we can execute it, and we'll just do that again.
No one thought we could do this.
No.
So,
by the way, our especially – people here who, like, when you get a job that works or a job for like the post office, you stay there for life. So this mentality of walking away from something that's working is absolutely foreign and insane to most people who we live around.
Oh here. Yeah, but we're young and we think, why not? And as Russell Wilson says, what's next?
No one knows who Russell Wilson is.
Quarterback, go Hawks. But that's the thing. So
you'll see with those of you who follow us and keep up with the blog and all that good stuff. You'll see within the next few months a new second page, and then eventually all our marketing and everything and stuff. You'll see will stop being geared towards the Agriturismo and towards our new venture by the end of summer 2015.
We'll keep you posted.
Yep, you'll be seeing it. So. I think that's it. We're talked out, man. We've been on here forever.
So, the song of the week.
Song of the week this week.
Que sera. It's a little bit of a sad version. It's true, but it's also who knows what will be next. I love it.
All right. Bring us home. Where can people reach us who want to find out all the stuff we do around here?
All right. You can find us at letavlamarque.com. Oh, our 2015 classes packages are up. So you can find it on the blog for sure, and it'll be on the website shortly. But latavlamarque.blogspot.com, and you can go to Cooking in Italy, and you'll find all of the packages for 2015. Then we've also got our...
Shoot, that's right. I can't believe we forgot about plugging our live stuff.
Yeah, we've got all of our live cooking classes in December. So the first one will be December 14th, and the menu for that is a good menu. A bone-in braised veal. Did I say that right?
I don't think that's right at all.
Puntini vitello.
No, I don't.
Where'd you go?
I'm sorry. I'm staring out the window and there's these hunting dogs running through our yard. And I'm wondering if they're going to go eat our chickens. So I wasn't really
It's puntine vitello. How can you
veal
explain?
Breasts. Veal sorry, breasts. But you can use, but we'll put up with pork chops or something.
Okay.
Pork veal breast is hard to find.
With poached pears. Poached in red wine and rosemary.
I think we'll talk about, we'll go more into the live cooking classes on the next podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just giving them the heads up. You said take it home. I'm taking it home. I'm doing it. And then we've got us, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Vimeo, all as La Tavola Marche, LATAVOLAMARCHE. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, at Ashley Bartner, ASHLEYBARTNER. Stay tuned.
All right. Big things
coming.
Big things are happening. It's all happening. It's all happening. All right. Very well. Well, thank you so much for listening to us ramble through a podcast. Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. We don't know when the next one will be. Well, you know, how long was the break between the last one and this one?
We probably won't do one until after Thanksgiving.
All right.
American Thanksgiving.
We'll see. Very good. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Go and check everything out. And we hope to see you in our final season, 2015. It's going to be one to remember.
Woo!
All right. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
paese mio che stai sulla collina, steso come un vecchio addormentato, la noia, l'abbandono e il niente sono la tua malattia. Paese mio, ti lascio e io vado via. Che sarà, che sarà, che sarà, che sarà della mia vita, chi lo sa. So far tutto, forse niente, da domani si vedrà. Che sarà quel che sarà. Gli amici miei sono quasi tutti via, e gli altri partiranno dopo me. Peccato, perché stavo bene in loro compagnia. Ma tutto passa, tutto se ne va. Che sarà, che sarà, che sarà, che sarà della mia vita, chi lo sa. Con me porto la chitarra e se la notte piangerò, e una degna del paese suonerò. Amore mio, ti bacio sulla bocca, fu la fonte del mio primo amore. Ti do l'appuntamento come quando non lo so, lo so soltanto che ritornerò. Che sarà, che sarà, che sarà, che sarà della mia vita, chi lo sa. So far tutto, forse niente, da domani si vedrà. Che sarà quel che sarà. Che sarà, che sarà, che sarà, che sarà della mia vita, chi lo sa. Con me porto la chitarra e se la notte piangerò, di una degna del paese suonerò.